Amen. Thank you, Daryl and Kimberly. All right. We are... How's everybody this morning? Well, did you take care of your sweethearts yesterday? Oh, what you laughing at over there? I'll tell you what, we don't want to forget that, do we? We all need a little bit of love, don't we? I went and seen, how many of you all seen that movie Slumdog Millionaire? You see that? Anybody? What? Man, that's a good movie. It really, Mike, you like that movie. It's about India. Have you seen it? Huh? Mary, have you seen it? Oh, I thought, oh yeah, it really, man, I mean, it just gives you a picture of India. I mean, it's like, you know, it was like I was there again for a minute. But, you know, the $1 million thing, the guy doing the, you know, the show, that's a little bit fictitious. But the rest of it, I mean, it's real. It's as real as it gets. But our guy Moses, Pastor Moses, is going to be here on April 25th and 26th. And he's going to speak on Saturday night and Sunday. We have, we've taken on these orphans over in Hyderabad, India, and we are supporting them now. Probably over 400 orphans. And so we're helping to support them and support this ministry. And they're going to come and they're going to really show us what's going on over there. And they're going to show the persecution and just some things that's happening. And it's exciting. We're not just limited here within these four walls or within Sydney. We're touching the nation. Does this make sense? We got a pastor in Pakistan who has requested our tapes and CDs, and they're taking them and copying them and preaching on Sunday morning in this big Pakistan church. They're taking our messages, using our messages, and they want the written copies. Isn't that wild? I mean, something's going on. Am I making sense? So, God is using this place. It's exciting to be a part of it, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't happen without commitment. We've been talking about commitment, haven't we? So, we're going to talk about another key today, and it's still the key of praise. So, we talked about praise last week, right? We were talking about commitment, and then we went into praise. So, last week we began the key of praise. Keys are principles, right? And we're talking about the principles of heaven, God's principles, spiritual principles. And so, we want to understand, when we understand these principles, they're keys, they can open doors that no man can shut and close doors that no man can open. So, the idea is, when we operate in these principles, we're operating on another level, right? Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. That's us. He said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Remember the word bind? It means to lock, and loose means to open. So when you operate in these principles, you're getting some power in heaven and from heaven. And so that's what we want to do. We want to understand these principles so we can live the life God has created us for, right? We can fulfill that plan and purpose. Without understanding these principles, you'll always be defeated. You'll always be defeated, and you'll never fulfill the plan and purpose of God. Because the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this age. The rulers of the darkness where we're ignorant. Darkness means we're ignorant. When we're ignorant of these principles, that's where the enemy gets rule in our life. And so that's why we have to understand these principles. If we're gonna walk in a way that's going to be in triumph, in a joyful way, in a way that has victory, right? And we're not a defeated people, we have victory. The victory is already won. All we have to do is walk in it. That's faith. We're faith people, right? We walk by faith and not by sight. So we talked about praise, and remember last week we talked about how when Paul and Silas were put into prison, and they were put into prison for no more than just preaching the gospel. So they're put into prison, and around midnight they began to praise God. In Acts 16, you can see that. They began to praise God, and as they began to praise God, an earthquake came. Began to shake, and the prison doors opened up. And all the inmates, the chains around the inmates' wrists and ankles broke off, and they walked out of that prison. They were set free. What's that saying? That's saying that Paul and Silas was in a very straitened and difficult circumstance. When you choose to praise God in a difficult circumstance, you're not only affecting yourself, but you're affecting those who are around you. Come on now, am I making sense? You're taking stuff off other people by the choice that you're making. But when you choose negativity and you choose to just complain about everything you're looking at and seeing, then now you're affecting your life as well as other people's lives. Am I making sense? That's why this principle is so important. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, he said he was put in prison for nothing more than preaching the gospel there as well, in Philippians. And he said, rejoice. What's there to rejoice about in prison? Did he feel like it? No. Did he get a new golden carriage and new stallion horses to pull him out of the prison? No. What was he rejoicing about? He was putting this principle in motion. Rejoice in the Lord always, he said, and again I say rejoice. Guards were breathing down his neck, and he's putting this principle in motion. And he said, and let your gentleness be made known to all men that the Lord is at hand. Remember that word gentleness? The ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. So that's what Paul's saying. When you will rejoice in difficult circumstances, he said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let the ability in you to be undisturbed, regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings, be made known to everybody that the Lord is at hand. The Lord is in here ruling. The Lord is ruling me, and now my circumstances and my difficult situation is not dictating to me how I'm going to act and how I'm going to speak, because God is in charge. Are you with me? And that's the kingdom of God in your life. And folks, I know that's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But that's where the power is. And that's when you begin to become a person of influence. You see that? Now you become you're becoming a person of influence. And that takes commitment. That takes commitment. That's what David, he was committed, right? And he influenced thousands and millions and still influencing people today. That's the way you're going to be if you operate in these principles. I want to be a person that advances God's kingdom. How about you? So when we put these principles in motion, folks, it changes our world. It changes our world and the world around us. So we're going to look at this principle of praise again. And so go with me to Matthew. Somebody brought me some water up here, didn't he? Is Barbara Jean out there? Where's she at? Did you do that? She said, I've lost that much weight. She's on a prism diet. I'm telling everybody, Barbara. All right. Yes, Matthew 21. We're going to look at verse 15 and 16. All right. Verse 15 and 16. You know, folks, listen to me. You know this complaining and this murmuring and complaint. You know what? Let's just make up our mind. We're getting that out of our life. Because, folks, we are too blessed. We are too blessed to do that. And you know what? It's so easy to look at the world and say, look at the economy. It's just bad out there. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. You know what? That's an excuse. That's an excuse not to grow and to mature in the things of God. Just, it's bad out there. That's where you're supposed to be, out there, making it better. Amen? So that is not an excuse. But you know what? People use that as an excuse all the time. How many of you heard the news that Rick Warren has got together with another Christian business entrepreneur and has raised $10 billion to finance medical relief in the third world countries? Y'all heard that, didn't you? Everybody know about that? How many of you heard that? Do you see? If you just listen to the news and everything around you, all you're going, they're slanted towards negativity. Negativity. And that's the physical realm. And that's what we're trying to get. We're going to get above that. And that's what praise does. It takes you above that. How many of you heard that Christians are coming to Christ more now than ever in history? That's what's going on now. Folks, we got a lot to be thankful for and grateful for. There's good news, right? You know what? That's why you can't be watching CNN all the time and just the news that they're putting out. I watch the news, but I don't let it run my life. That's a little side note for you. Okay. You know what? I got another thing. You know how I used to tell my friends that, you know, I like running outside exercise. I liked it because it cleared my head up. I said, I like running more because it clears my head up than the physical part of it. And then I just got in reading this material. Dr. Michael Roynes from he's the chief physician of the Cleveland Clinic and goes all over the world. And I was reading this and it said that when you exercise like that outside, you produce nitrous oxide. And that's laughing gas. And you get brief spurts of it, and it's very short-lived. But you know what it does? It literally cleanses your brain from metals and things in there that aren't supposed to be in there. What do you think about that? See, that's why I want you out there doing some salubrious activity. You see, now listen, that's why I always said it clears up my head, and I just learned, well, that's why my head feels so good after little bit of information. You ready? All right. Matthew 21:15. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this place. We thank you for everyone that is here this morning, Lord. Lord, we just give you praise this morning for all the good that is going on in the kingdom. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to advance your kingdom. So, Lord, we desperately need you in this time. So, Lord, we ask for revelation, knowledge, and understanding of this principle of praise, that we will never be the same. We ask, Lord, that you deposit the seed of your word in our hearts today, and that, Lord, you protect it, and that the enemy will not be able to rob it, but it will be planted there forever. And it will overcome discouragement, depression, and negativity in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay. So, this is, Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead, and this is what we call Palm Sunday. So, what they're doing is they're waving the palms and praising God, and Hosanna, and praising Jesus. All right? They're giving Jesus praise, as though he's God. And the religious folks are getting upset. They're getting upset because they're praising Jesus like he's God. Because, see, God alone, they knew that only God and God alone was to get praise. And they were upset. That's why they were indignant. Look at Son of David. See, Hosanna. Remember David? See how David shows up? Now look at that. And then it says, they were indignant, the religious people. Religious people get upset when you praise God in difficult situations. Jesus is going to be crucified, right? Religious people get upset when you praise God in difficult situations. You stir up religious spirits. Now watch this. And verse 16, he said to him, do you hear what these people are saying? He's asking them, do you hear what's going on? Why on earth are they, this is blasphemy. Why are they praising him? He's not God. And then Jesus said, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. See, Jesus didn't tell him. Jesus was taking the praise. He was accepting it because he knew he was God. Are you with me? This makes sense. Go with me to Psalms chapter 8. I want to show you this. Psalms 8. And Jesus was quoting Psalms 8 when he was quoting David. And Jesus made the transition here from Hebrew to Greek. Okay, in the New Testament, it was Greek. In the Old Testament, it was Hebrew. Now look at this. Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have what? Ordained strength. Ordained strength. You see that? So he said in the New Testament, in Matthew 21, he said it's perfected praise. So when you praise, you receive ordained strength. You see that? When you praise God, you get ordained strength. And that word ordained is authority. You get authority and you get strength. What do you think about that? You get strength for whatever situation you're in when you praise God. Don't you like that? I'm telling you, it's not based on what you're looking at or what you're seeing or what you're feeling. It's based on what God says. And when you do what God says, not based on what you're seeing or what you're feeling or any of those senses or what you're tasting or smelling, it's what He says. When I praise God, I'm going to get ordained strength. Now, look what else it says. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Do you know when you praise God, you silence the enemy? You silence all those negative voices trying to get into your life. Come on now. You silence all them negative voices trying to tell you you're not going to make it. You can't afford that. You look how ugly you are. You do all that negativity. You silence the enemy. You see that? When you will praise God in a difficult situation. This is huge. I got a phone call this week, and the guy said he was driving down the road. He said he was just, normally at times, the enemy, or he would just start thinking about things, and he would get overwhelmed. And you know what he said? He said, I'm putting this principle in motion. He says, it's working. It's working. Someone else came in my office. She said, I've never really understood this, but as I do this, this is really working. I'm doing what you're telling me to do about prayer, and it's really working. She goes, how come I never understood that before? I said, I don't know. But this is a faith principle. You see this? That's why we have to understand it. And folks, we're living in a day, you know, the church needs to step it up and start acting and operating in these principles. Because when we do, people are going to want what we have. But when we join in there complaining and murmuring and fault finding, you know, that's right there. There's no power in that, and the enemy starts to control your life in that. Because he can only control you in the physical. He cannot, because you're focused on the physical, that's where he's controlling you in your life. Now, think about this. In Colossians 2:8, he says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. See, not according to Christ would be the kingdom of God. Okay, if we were looking to Christ, then we would have the principles of the kingdom of God. But you see what he's saying, you'll be cheated if you only rely on the philosophy of men. You'll be cheated. Listen to me. The word philosophy, he says, beware lest anyone cheat you. The word cheat means to decay, to rot, and to corrupt. That's what the word cheat means. To decay, to rot, and to corrupt. So what he's saying is, the things of God in your life are going to decay, rot, and what? Corrupt. If you just look at man's wisdom. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Remember, philosophy, philia, is God's love, or man's love. Philia is man's love. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Sophie is man's wisdom. The love of man's wisdom. That's why it says philosophy. Love of man's wisdom. If that's all you're connecting to and you're relying on, you're going to be cheated when it comes to the things of God. You see that? And he says, according to the basic principles. You see, if you just look at the principles of this world and you just look at the things you see and touch and feel and smell and hear, if that's all you're looking at and you're living your life by that, you're going to be cheated, and the enemy is a master in those areas. He is a master in those principles because he does not have the Spirit of God. He can only control your life through the physical realm. And it's through deception and causing you to believe things and look at things. Am I making sense? He can only deceive you. But if you're in the Spirit and you're operating in a spiritual principle, he can't get in. When you operate in praise, it's like an inoculation of an immunization. It's like an inoculation. It's like you've got a shot to protect you from any disease to come in, any corruption to come in. It keeps it out. It's an immunization. It's like your immune system, how it works in your body to keep out the infections and bacteria out of your life. That's the same way praise does in your spiritual life. You see this? That's the same way it works. And so that's why he says we don't wrestle. And remember in Ephesians chapter 6, he said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? But against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this age. But right before that, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Remember, that word stand means prevail, overcome, win, have victory over the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is the word methodia. Remember, it's methodia, and that's the Greek word methodia, and this is what it means. It means organized strategies and technical procedures designed to handle a subject. So the enemy is organized, and he's going to use technical procedures designed to handle your backside through these principles. You see this? Through these principles, he will handle your life if that's all you're looking at. And he'll control your life. And he is a master at it. When you're ignorant of the principles of God, then that's where he gets control of your life. My people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. For their lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. That's why we got to grow and we got to understand these principles. We making sense today? In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it talks about that we should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. You see, that's talking about forgiveness. Remember we talked about forgiveness? Forgiveness is one of the keys of the kingdom. When we operate in forgiveness, it keeps us free from unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. You see that? That's why when we understand. See, if we're ignorant of that, then the enemy gets in. It works the same way with praise. When we're ignorant of praise, the enemy gets in through that principle of not knowing it. You see that? That's huge. That's huge. When you operate in this, folks, this takes you to another level. Praise puts your focus on God and the solution, right? When you are focused on the problem and everything around you, you are losing ground. That's why we don't look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. See that? Folks, we're faith people, right? We're going to operate in praise. Now, because it silences the enemy. I love that. Don't you like that? You know why? Because he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand. What can you do with somebody when the electric's turned off, the electric's turned off, and there's only some pork and beans in the cupboard, and you're sitting in the dark, and you're looking for a match and a candle to light the room up, and there's nothing else, but you've got a candle burning, and you're eating cold pork and beans out of a can, and you're praising God, and you got joy in your heart. What can you do with that? Huh? Come on. Now that's what we're talking about today. Do you hear this? See, I get lots of calls. And for I'm trying to help some folks. Because when you understand this, it changes things. Now, when you're praising God in the dark and eating pork and beans, God is working on your behalf. He's looking at what's going on. He wants to open up another door. He's going to have somebody call you with a new job. He's going to bring somebody into your life to help you and assist you and get you to another place. But when you, my bills are off. I can't pay my bills. The lights are off. You don't know. I just don't know. You don't have my power. He can't even get near that. He can't get close to that. When you're operating in that, God's wisdom can't flow into your life. And he's going to make sure it doesn't. Because you know why? You were created for praise. It's his good pleasure when you praise God. In Revelation chapter 4, it says that we were created. That they were created and they were worshiping God continually. Continually. We were created to praise God. We were created for that. And when we operate in that, we're operating on another level. You know, you hear people talking about today, well, I was angry on another level. Well, see, we need to get joy on another level. Right? We want to go to another level with it. That's what we want to do. And that's what praise does. It takes you to another level. Well, you look excited. I am. Because, folks, this is a reality in the spiritual realm. And this is where we've been slacking. You know what? This calls you to be responsible. You see that? That's why some of you don't like hearing what you're hearing today. We're stirring up some stuff. But it's all good. Because, you know, when you put this thing in place, you're going to see things change in your life. This brings change. This brings change. We're too blessed to walk around talking negative and all the junk that's going on around us. When you walk around and speak that, you're bringing it. You're heaping it. It's like, come on, bring me more negativity. You're like a magnet for the negative when you speak that and you join in that. I'm telling you the truth, folks. Okay. Go with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Remember, if we're created for praise, remember we left last week, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Remember we left last week and I said, go out and share your praises. And remember, it's a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice is something you don't want to do or you don't want to give up. Well, when you praise, and remember, Hebrews 13, 15 and 16, it says God is well pleased when you offer up a praise of sacrifice. When you praise God and you don't feel like it, it pleases God. Remember, what's Proverbs 16:7 says? When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. I know I'm preaching today. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to look at verse 15. Jehazel is the prophet speaking here. And God is speaking through him. In verse 15, 2 Chronicles 20, 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Now, you know what he's doing? Jehoshaphat felt overwhelmed because he was looking at all the people. He just knew he couldn't win this battle. So he was concerned. So God sent him, this prophet, to speak to him. Now look at this. King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercies endure forever. Verse 22. Now, when they began to sing and praise to the Lord, the Lord set an ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. All three of those armies way outnumbered Judah. And they were what? Defeated. And they were defeated. Why were they defeated? Because Jehoshaphat had them begin to praise God. He listened to the prophet. Are you with me? And Moab and Ammon. Moab and Ammon, the armies of Moab and Ammon, they ganged up and they came against Mount Seir. And they defeated Mount Seir, the army of Mount Seir. And they were fighting among, then they started fighting among each other. And there was confusion. And then everybody killed each other. And then all their spoils were laying there, all their, everything that had of any value. And so Judah just kept praising God and got to come in. And they went in the land, the valley of Baraka. And that's called the place of blessing. They went in and were seized all the spoils. All the riches and everything. They got blessed. They praised God. That God defeated the army. They got blessed because of the principle of praise in place. Am I making sense? They received a blessing. Folks, listen to me. Well, that don't make sense. No, it's not going to make sense. It's what God... See, that's the idea. We're going to do what God says. And that's where the power is. When the power's in the Word of God, when you do what He says... Now the power can be released. It's not based on what we see, hear, feel, touch, smell, or taste, or any of them others. This is good. You see, this shows that praise defeats the enemy in your life. Folks, everybody fights depression. I fight depression, but you know what? I found out praise defeats it. Praise defeats it. Discouragement. Folks, we shouldn't be people of depression and discouraged all the time and down all the time. Folks, when we will praise God in a difficult situation, it comes off of you. I'm here to tell you. Remember, only 5% of the people taking antidepressants need them. Only 5%. That's few of how many are being taken, right? So, this principle, you see why? Because people don't understand this principle. Because really, that's what they were created for. And that's when we just focus on the negativity, that'll make you depressed, right? You go sit and watch the TV and watch the news, and that's all you think about? That'll make you depressed, right? That alone will make you depressed. Go listen to the people at the shop and what they're talking about and all the economic and all that. That's enough to make you depressed. But when you get quiet with God and you start talking to God and you praying a little bit and you talking to God and get you some word up in you, yeah, life is good. Folks, life will change. But we have to do it on purpose. We have to be purposeful and intentional with this thing. You know why? Because the enemy hates it. He hates it. He can't stand it when you praise God. Go with me to Isaiah 14 real quick. Y'all all right? Don't want to hear no complaints. you know what I mean. There's things I'm not talking about denial, right? Remember the dog Lucky? He only had one ear and his tail was cut off and he only had three legs and he was all matted and they put an article in the paper and said he answers to the name Lucky. That's denial. We're not talking about denial, right? We're talking about faith and the power of God, right? Okay. Verse 4, Isaiah 14. That you will take up the proverb against the king of Babylon. A proverb, you know what a proverb is? It's a physical analogy of a spiritual reality. That's what it is. That's what a proverb is. It's a physical analogy of a spiritual reality. Now, the king of they were against the king. Now, I'm going to shorten this because there's a lot of reading there. And you can read, and it talks about even hell and going there and the maggots and all that is reserved. Now, look at this. Verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Lucifer there is Satan. And Lucifer's name was bright. Lucifer meant bright and morning star. So when the devil, when Satan was in heaven, he really loved God. He really loved the things of God. You see that? He liked the things of God. You know why he got jealous? Listen to this. For you, verse 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like God. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Listen to me. When Lucifer was in heaven, he saw that God was getting all the praise and all the worship. And he longed for that. You see, anytime you're getting credit and people are giving you praise for things that you might do well or whatever, and you get jealous and envious, guess who's working in your life? The enemy is working in your life. That's why you should never be jealous when someone is doing well. When someone does well, you ought to be thankful for them. You ought to be thankful that they're doing well. You know what? When you get jealous of somebody doing good and doing well, that's insecurity. That's a strong form of insecurity. You are insecure. And see, the enemy works through that. I'm telling you. When you see somebody doing well, you should be glad and help them. Help them do better. If it's your spouse, help them do better. You're for them, right? You're not against. You're there to help them. Lift them up. Build them up. Do help them out. Don't sit there and get jealous of them and envious. The enemy takes that and he goes. He runs with it. Jealousy and envy is never from God. It's always from the enemy. Come on now. Am I making sense? That's huge, folks. That's huge. We have to understand. This is a... When you see that, begin to praise God for that. Praise God that they're doing well, that they're doing better. When your neighbor or your coworker, they're getting a promotion, praise God for that. Well, I was supposed to get it. Well, you didn't get it, so give God some praise and maybe you'll get it. Right? The reason you didn't get it because you were getting jealous of the other ones getting it. That's how it works, folks. We get focused on the physical, we miss out and we don't grow spiritually. Am I making sense? And you don't advance spiritually. Now, the devil can't stand it when you praise God. He hates it. He absolutely cannot stand it. That's like Christmas. You know, I love it when, you know, Christmas time, I walk into the mall and I hear a song playing, "Joy to the World, the Lord." I love it. I'm just like, I'll get all happy, but then I see all the commercial, and I don't focus on that. I just keep focused on the good stuff, you know? But the enemy, see, he wants you to focus on the commercialism. Oh, they got the stuff out. It's only October, and they got the Christmas decorations. Don't, you know, huh? See, that's the enemy wants to bring that in your life. You know, Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving, it's all the hoopla around Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was a God holiday. It's all about giving thanks to God and praise to God. But look what the enemy's done. And we've let it. We join in with that. We need to be giving thanks to God and praise to God, right? And when people start talking that negativity, you give God praise and thanks, right? And you're going to rise above it. Oh, I'm telling you something, folks. This is huge. This is huge. Now, in James 3:16, it says, where there's strife and envy, there's every evil work. So when you're fighting and strifeful in your home, you know what? The enemy brings his cohorts and they show up and you can feel. I've been in a room where people have been fighting and they shut up when I come in. And I can still feel it. You can feel that evil presence. It's there to divide and conquer and destroy. But when you yield, and it says, he who yields will get the fruitful peace of righteousness. In other words, you are righteous, and the fruit of peace will come out when you yield to God's wisdom in that circumstance. See, the idea when somebody wants to argue and fight all the time, the best thing you can do is shut up. Just shut up. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Right? That's what Proverbs says. Remember, Proverbs a what? A physical example of a spiritual reality. If somebody wants to argue all the time, just shut up. Go in the other room and praise God. Give Him praise. Because when they're arguing and you start, man, it just takes over the whole place. Now, you've all done this. I've done it. But I've done this too. I'll get out of it and I go give God praise and power. There's power in it. There's power in it. This is huge. This is huge. This is a principle. This is a principle. If marriages would get this, folks, it would eliminate divorce. I'm telling you, it has that kind of power. If two people will choose to praise God, look out. I mean, look out. Are you with me? Now, where are we at? I'm almost done. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says that be sober, right? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody. There's only a select few he can devour. You know who the ones he can devour? The ones that don't understand these principles. The one who's not praising God, the one who's looking at all the physical circumstances, that's the ones he can get in their life and begin to do a work. I used to be a person when I first came to Christ and I started hearing about spiritual things and I started reading books about the devil. I wanted to kick him and, you know how to take care of him. So it's like I was always rebuking the devil, you know. He was behind every door and every rock. He was just everywhere. And man, I tell you what, I was getting miserable as a, I don't know what. I thought, man, I was going to lose my mind. I was always thinking about the devil. See, but then I got this revelation. See, we're not to do that. We're to think about the things of God, right? We're to think about God. And as you think about the goodness of God and meditate in that which is true, good, pure, lovely, and of a noble and of a praiseworthy report, the peace of God comes, see? It comes and protects your heart and your mind through Christ. See, this is a principle, folks. The enemy wants to get your attention on him in the physical. If he can, he can begin to destroy your life. All right. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians 2:6, and we're going to be done here. You guys will be all right. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. That would be man's wisdom. Nor of the rulers of this age. That word age is translated world. Nor the rulers of this world who are coming to nothing. They're coming to nothing. Right? Their day is done. The battle is already won. Now look at this. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for who? For our glory. You see, when we operate in praise, that's that hidden wisdom. And when we speak praise to God, it's for our glory. Now catch this. Remember, what's glory mean? What God originated and intended. So when you operate in this principle, your life is coming to fruition of what God originated and intended your life to be. Now look at this. Verse 8. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, speaking of the enemy and all his cohorts, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I mean, everyone knew. Jesus wasn't, hiding his going to be crucified. They knew. Well, why didn't they stop if they went ahead and crucified him? And no, it defeated their backside. It destroyed. Their destruction came when they crucified Jesus. You know why? Because the wisdom of God was in place. The principle of love, the love of God was in place. Now, do you see this? The enemy cannot understand. Is it hot in here, you guys? I know, I'm getting kind of hot too. I'm going to take my jacket off. I'm not done with you folks. I got something for you. But now, wait a minute. If you understand this, because folks, listen to me. It is warm in here. But the thing is, I need me one of those Kleenex or rags, start sweating. And, you know what I'm saying? Is that all right? Trying to lighten you up a little bit. But the idea is, he hates it when you praise God. He absolutely hates it. And see, because you know why? He doesn't understand. He can only understand the physical realm. That's all he can understand. And so when you operate in a spiritual principle, he's thinking, what is going on? You see that? That's why it goes on to say in this chapter, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For we did not receive the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. For what does man know the things of man except the spirit of man? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. For the natural man, verse 14, for the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. Satan doesn't have a clue when you operate in spiritual principles. He doesn't have God's Spirit. You see this? This is so big. I want you to leave here today and I want you to just fix his wagon this week. And you just talk about the good that God has and all the good that he's doing. And you just begin to speak that. and you don't listen to the negativity and don't join in those conversations, because that's where he's getting ground in your life. Come on now. Am I making sense? Okay, let's sing a song.